David, whether you have a few weeks old puppy or a senior who's seen multiple decades, any dog person like me knows the most valuable thing in the world is spending time with your pet.
Yep.
The farmer's dog makes it easy to keep them healthy, which can give you more quality years with your lovely dog.
Yeah, well, I've heard Farmer's Dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food. And, you know, that's what everyone's looking for. It's recommended by vets, nutritionally balanced. It's made from human-grade ingredients, safe, clean kitchens. All that stuff matters.
Yeah. I mean, you love your dog. Why get the lousy food for your dog? Farmer's Dog is the best. Traditional dry and wet dog food options are extremely processed.
Sometimes
they use
dogs...
much lower quality. Yeah.
you put it in their bowl and they go, what is this kibble? And they knock it away. What is this canned goo?
Oh, yeah. I've had our dog, yeah, look at the bowl and then kind of crank its neck up and look at me. And it was like, really?
They go, really? Why don't you go first? You want a bite of this? Slop?
And it makes that sound.
Here you go, dog.
So Farmer's Dog isn't just higher quality food. They also send the food pre-portioned specifically for your dog based on their unique nutritional needs. It makes it easy to help your dog reach and stay at their ideal weight, David, and which is one of the biggest indicators of a full, healthy life. A fresh diet has been found to have all sorts of benefits, David, from healthier coat and skin, better breath, if you want to kiss your dog, and even easier digestion and smaller and better poops.
Let's look at a clip. It doesn't matter if your dog's young or old, it's always the right time to invest in their health for more happy years with your dog. Get 50% off your first box at farmersdog.com/fly.
Let the Farmer's Dog know we sent you. Use your code or click podcast after you sign up for your first box. Hi, I'm David Spade.
Hi, I'm Dan Blarney. And together we're Fly on the Wall.
Together we are here to pump. Oh, sorry. Okay.
Let's do some questions. It's an experimental thing. We're going to do questions and I'm sure we'll never do it again. It'll suck so bad. But Dana, tell them what's going on.
Anything you want to ask us? Because, you know, we get letters and stuff or people stop us on the street. It's like, why are you wearing that? You know, so if you're inquisitive, you want to know about Saturday Night Live or really anything, because I'm a licensed therapist.
Yeah.
We're so licensed, I'm also smart. Good with advice.
Yeah. So
David has a... See, we don't have to pay a sound effect guy because we have
I got that
silver tongue here. What was that, like spaceship type?
That's a good one. It's like a Martian ship.
What would you do with this one?
Yeah, you can do it with anything. And
it's
if you want
well so far.
Hit us with your questions.
Yes.
It's flyonthewall@cadence13.com. What does the com stand for?
Commissary?
Yeah. I knew you'd know it. All right, let's go to the first caller. We don't know these people. We've never
this is like a Vegas magician or a hypnotist. I've never met you, right? Yep. I don't know what you're going to say. So this is off the cuff.
Okay, pop them in. I don't even know the name or anything. Go.
Go.
And go.
And anytime.
And here we go.
And 3, 2, 1,
and
person.
Action.
This is called The Awkward Part.
And Dead Air Productions. Oh, here comes something.
Oh.
Hey. Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, it's Warren Grant. You already.
There you go. Okay,
what's your name?
Dave Labar.
Dave. Hi, Dave. How are you? Thanks for being our first guest on our first...
Dave, I like what you've done with that blank wall behind you. It's just awesome, paint, right? So far, right?
You're a minimalist. Are you Swedish? Are you Swedish? Because I am. You don't have a lot of furniture in there.
No. This is my living room. It's just me and my roommate. So there's not much. I got a Swingers. I don't know if you guys can see that, but that's a Swingers.
Oh, I remember poster. Vince Vaughn, Favreau.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Sure.
That's hip.
Got a big TV. That's not too shabby. Okay, what do you got to say?
What are you thinking, Dave?
My question is, what SNL character of yours or movie character has been the most popular Halloween costume?
Ah.
Well, Dave, Ed. I know what mine is. It's pretty obvious.
Okay.
I don't really. Do you have a Hollywood costume?
You know, this is a good question because it's probably easier with Dana. I'm guessing you're going to say Garth.
Yes.
Or church lady.
Garth. The thing about Garth, I don't know why, but women with long blonde hair constantly come up to me and say, "You won't believe this. I played Garth on Halloween." But when I raised my kids up in the mountains of Northern California, I thought, okay. I'm getting away from Hollywood. getting away from all that nonsense. First Halloween, I'm at the fireplace. I got stuff going, passing out the candy. I turn around. There's a kid, a big kid. I think it was a boy. Anyway, dressed exactly like Garth on Halloween. I thought, you can run, but you cannot.
Oh,
hide.
Man. That's great, because every girl I know is like, I could play Garth. I have split ends.
Well, what's funny is me and my girlfriend are going as Wayne and Garth for Halloween.
You are?
Yeah. But here's my whole thing about it. I love Wayne's World. Dana, I love you. But at the end of the night, I kind of want to be with like a Playboy bunny or like a sexy nurse. Instead,
not Wayne.
I'm staring at Garth.
Oh, you know? She's Garth.
It's
yeah.
It gets a little meta, a little weird. You're going to undress Garth. Is that what you're saying, Dave?
Makes me feel kind of funny.
Yeah.
Well, just there twist your face. Are you doing Wayne?
Yeah, yeah, I'm Wayne, she's
yeah,
Garth.
You're going to be chop right. Just yeah. Do the hair and go chop right. But tell your, is it your girlfriend?
Yeah, yeah.
And are how, you know, what's with this relationship? Are you,
is we're it, taking a side turn.
Here we go.
Yeah. Well, you're undressing her as my character. I think.
She lives in Vegas. I live here in San Diego. So we're doing the long distance thing. So.
Otherwise known as cheating.
So
no, I'm kidding. Listen,
Vegas
here's
is
what
a
you
real,
do when she gets
city. Good,
when you get
call.
Home. Yeah. Just pop out your contacts, and she'll look like one of the Real Housewives. I don't know which one, but it'll be a little blurry, and you can fake it with that Garth wig. But let's okay. Now
David,
here's mine. I know it's already
I know
over.
What it is.
But now I'm going to answer. I don't think you're going to be right, but go ahead.
Gap girl.
Well. I get some Gap Girl, but the most Halloween costumes I get is
Joe Dirt.
Is Joe Dirt, and we see a lot of people do grown-ups. But those aren't from SNL. When I hosted, I think we did, Matt Piedmont and I wrote something about a stripper chaperone named Shane, and it kind of looked like Joe Dirt. I think it was right before I did Joe Dirt, but I sort of liked the name Shane and Joe Dirt. I was going to be the name Shane in it, and then we changed it. But the Joe Dirt, even Russell Westbrook, when is Joe Dirt? I saw that on
Joe
his Instagram.
Joe Dirt is a good look, right?
It's a funny look, and it's pretty easy. They're not always that good. My favorite are when babies go as Joe Dirt, because they dress up little kids and babies, and they're always cuter and funnier. And the girl goes as Brandy. Their dog goes as the dog. But that's it. All right, man. Thank you very much. And I love San Diego, and I was just kidding about that other thing.
Yeah.
And appreciate you calling in,
and
bud.
Make sure if... You got to put a ring on it at some point.
Okay, easy.
I'm just saying.
Some point.
I got to go, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Goodbye,
bye,
everybody.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave.
All
love
right.
you.
Yeah, you know, he could put a ring pop on it this week. And then, oh, he's still there.
Still there. Okay. Hi. Well, the thing I love about Dave and his question. Oh, hi, Dave.
All right. When you jump off, you can jump off the Zoom, because you don't want to be in the waiting room on someone's computer for the next 5 days. Okay. Well, that was good. I like that one. It was the first one, and he was good. Okay.
We broke the seal.
That was easy. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's try another one. Let's see who's in there. You got personal, Dana. You got really in there. I like that you're digging a little
bit. Well, I'm a licensed therapist.
Oh, he's got portrait background.
Wow.
Wow.
He looks like
rich.
You're suspended in three-dimensional floating in space.
Looks like
I
he's in a
it.
Commercial.
I feel like I'm stoned.
Michael, what's up, buddy?
What's he doing, Wayne?
Hey, guys.
Anyway, good to see you. Thanks for being part of our inaugural fan question.
You know what? He knew we were going to make fun of his apartment, so he blurred it out.
I blurred out, yeah.
No.
I got it.
But we're not going to make fun of you.
Okay, great.
No, it's fine. It looks cool. How are you today?
I'm great. I'm still sort of in disbelief that this is actually happening. When I got the email, I was like, is this a prank? Like, how did I get this? How did I get the right to do this? But this feels
thanks
real.
For your question.
It's so odd to be on this side of the fence, because for most of my life, I once saw Michael Landon in a restaurant when I was 10 years old from Bonanza, and I couldn't speak. So the idea that you would be nervous around David Spade and me?
He's nervous around you. You should be nervous. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I am nervous. Yeah, no, it's all good. Just to set the stage on where I align, it's Joe Dirt, Master of Disguise. Just the
yes.
Oh, good.
You're
okay.
The one. You're the one.
And,
Joe Dirt was a hit.
Master of Disguise is a great movie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Michael. Okay, go ahead. What do you got?
All right, here's the question. So we just... be grateful to hear your guys' strategies, processes, music, and gearing up for like a big day of work, whether that's on set or getting ready to perform or something along those lines. We'd just love to hear about your guys' process there.
God, we kind of asked Paul McCartney that a little bit before he went on, and now we're being asked. That's kind of cool.
He was not as nervous as we were.
I did hear that this morning, actually.
Yeah, we took a that was fun, but I was starstruck. You know, I've met him a couple times, but it was very nerve wracking to see his face on the Zoom just because
your question should be his question should be what was our prep in just talking to Paul McCartney? That was what we were scared of for like 3 days ahead.
I was on vacation in Wyoming with my family. I had to go to a special hotel and because I to get Wi-Fi, and we didn't know if David was going to make it on the Zoom. He was having technical issues. He was,
you know, Michael, I wanted to kick myself. There's so many things we wanted to ask him, and then I froze up. Dana was pretty smooth, but
I didn't know we could talk about the Beatles.
I know. Once you did, and he sort of got into it, we were like, oh, because we don't want to offend him in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Right.
And I once, I met him at a party once, and he was in line in the loo. Sorry.
Really?
That me and Paul say
this
loo.
This is getting interesting.
And then I said, he was nice, but you know, he's all just high, you know, he's nice. But then I auctioned off tickets to see him at a fundraiser for Haiti, and I wound up in, it's in my act. I do the whole thing on it, Dana. It's hilarious.
I love
but
to hear
I
it.
Wound up paying $125,000 for the ticket. So the good news is Haiti is fixed. But the bad news is I fixed it with this one donation. But the bad news is I went to see Paul McCartney. I had to pay all that money. Talk about upsell. And then you're supposed to meet him. And I waited with Kanye. And then they go, oh, he'll see you. He had his guitar. It's just he and his wife. And then, Joe Walsh came in, just in that little backstage, little half banger, honey wagon, whatever they call it, trailer. And he was super nice. And I never found out, did he know it was because I bid on that? Because we called and said, hey, David wanted to come see Paul and thought they knew what I meant. And they just said, oh, sure. And they said, okay, come say hi. And he never mentioned it. I thought he'd be like, holy shit. Why?
They don't remember, you know, when you're the most famous person on the planet, you just, you know. But I'll answer your question as Paul. Yeah. You know, I get up, you know, I'll brush your teeth. I do a teeth. You know, I get a nice little brekkie, you know. I put on my best trousers, put a little water on my face. I'm ready for my show. To your question, though, if I'm doing a 90-minute stand-up set, mm-hmm. I don't normally nap, but I'll try to close my eyes for a while. I'll look at my notes. Close my eyes some more. I'll try to eat a light meal, salmon, right at a certain time frame. Make sure I'm hydrated and really do some push-ups or something to be optimal as much as I can. David?
Yeah, I'm on this kind of a tour right now, and Dana and I both don't do stand-up all the time like we used to, but this year I'm trying. And when I got to go out there and do an hour or whatever, even more. Dana does 90, which is even harder.
90 on the toes.
90, and he's fucking doing a lot of shit, and his voice, and he's physical. I'm out there mumbling my stupid act, but it is hard.
Wait a minute. You got tickets on sale.
No, it's hysterical. But I can eat almost anything right before I go on. I'll eat a steak. When I was on that Sandler tour, they had a steak backstage every night. I ate a full steak, and I go, and they're like, you're up next. They're introing you. And I go, okay.
Oh, full steak. And
slug
now,
my vodka Diet
Coke. David Spudler.
Yeah. And then I walk out. Hello.
But now I know why you're so low key in your act.
Yeah,
you just
I'm
got a big steak.
I'm dying, yeah.
But I will have a little bit of chocolate sometimes, like just a square of chocolate.
So it's really all food oriented for you guys.
I do drink a little. I usually have a few knocks, probably two, but that's it. But then I get scared. I don't want to be too buzzed, but I do have fun out there because it is nerve wracking. I still for sure get nervous.
I feel like when people buy tickets and stuff, yeah. A responsibility to be optimal as much mm-hmm. as possible. Because I was on stage, 1,500 people, and I hadn't done a full 90 in a while, and I got to a really good bit, and I was setting it up, bing, bang, boom. What the fuck is the next line?
What's bang?
I only missed two, but that was very painful.
I remember bing and boom.
So what I did the next gig I had, I just repeated the bit in my hotel yep. room over and over again. But you want to be optimal. You want to be good. You want to make them happy. So you just want to feel good out there if you can. But a lot of times, you know what? You're kind of exhausted from travel. That's the problem. Travel is just yep. dingy.
This weekend, Mike, I'll tell you, because when it's a theater, it is a different vibe when they're paying more. They're excited. You see them on Instagram, like saying, I'm in line. I'm this. And I remember this weekend, I wanted to try some different bits. So like Dana, if I haven't done one in a while, I have to say it out loud to figure out all the snags, because you can get in the middle of it and you just stop and go, I don't even know what the ending was. I don't know where I was going with this. So you have to go beginning, middle, end, and then you go, I got it. And then you
and
go
that
out there.
Really, really, really helps. Do you have any follow-up or did that answer your question?
No, that's great. I'm grateful for that answer. But I guess my only follow-up would be like, what's your like, do you have like a pump-up music that you go for? Because I'm getting ready to run the New York City Marathon, raise some money for cancer research. And it's like, what? I'm listening to Big Booty Mix right now. I don't know if you know what that is, if you've heard of that.
I know what big booties are.
I would say a song that David loves, and I saw it the other night because My wife and I are watching the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and it was LL Cool J. Anything with energy, like Mama Said sure. Knock You Out, would really, that makes me laugh. It's such a funny song. Mama Said Knock You Out, because, you know, anything with high, you know, just massive,
what
know,
is Heather, what's
Halen
the Zeppelin song I go up to? Whole Lot of Love. I go up to Whole Lot of Love.
Zeppelin.
I go up to Beastie Boys, Sabotage sometimes. I went up to Arizona by Scorpions. And anything gets you going. But Dano, by the way, should tell you, he's scribbling all these down, which is smart. He literally was like, oh, one more question. I thought this was a sports show.
Oh, you're writing down the music? Well, if you start getting tired toward the end of the marathon, just put on like Peter, Paul, and Mary, like as you're just slowing down.
Dana does Puff the Magic Dragon for the first.
Right, the last quarter mile.
Yeah.
I ran a marathon, almost killed
Dana, I'd heard a deer from the old Rules of Engagement, always wanted me to ask you if you have some record or some running record or distance record. Is that possible?
For what? For show business?
No. For being the oldest living comic. No, for being, you were like a marathon runner and you have some records because you're a good runner.
I ran a 4:27 mile at age 17.
Wow.
That's not bad.
Wow. See that?
Wow.
And I ran a marathon, but it was in August. I also was 17. It was like 90 degrees out. The first 10 miles were uphill. They discontinued it because people died. But I ran that in 3:04, which is, I could have run 2:40 at the time.
See,
but I was running a lot. That's all. People go, how'd you do that? Well, I just ran a lot. That's all I did.
I've been pumping him up because he's about to do the big monster one.
I've been training since December, and I would be like elated to run it under 4 hours. I can't even imagine what it would take to run it in 3 minutes and 4 seconds. That sounds
well, 3 hours. You but ran a 7 minute hours, pace, yeah. But it was with a lot of hills. This one's flat. Don't go out too fast. Always stay aerobic, not anaerobic. So like just below a talking thing, and just make sure that you go out a little slower than you even want. And you want to have negative splits if you can. Get to 13.1 halfway, and that's when you, what I call, put the hammer down and dominate your competition.
My advice is when you get finished, just show girls your step counter and just go, hey, did you do 400,000 steps today? Oh, that's me. That's right. Can I buy you a drink?
It's a billion steps. Well, that's really cool you're doing that. Is your knees okay? Your hips? You got good shoes? You're all right?
Yep. Everything's good right now. I'm just
ready to roll.
I'm happy to be where I am.
Good for
all right.
you.
Well, that's congratulations. Awesome. Good job.
Thank you.
And thank you for checking in on us.
Thank you, guys. This is awesome. Take care.
All right.
Appreciate
Peace
it.
Out, bro.
Love you, bro. Mm-hmm.
I feel like I was slumping during him, but I'm back
up straight.
You can't see all the Land Cruisers on my shirt. And now for a word from our sponsors at Betterment. Let's talk about hustle culture. You know, the whole rise and grind, go big or go home thing. It's a lifestyle that may not be for you, but one that your money can handle thanks to Betterment. Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. How? Their automated technology optimizes your investments again and again. With Betterment, your money is taking ice baths at 5 a.m. while you get your well-deserved rest. Your money downs protein smoothies and automatically reinvests your dividends all before you head out the door. Your money's a workaholic, but you don't have to be because you've got Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Oh, yes, you heard me right. You can talk to an actual human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Oh,
who invited?
Hello.
Hi, I'm sorry. You're on.
Kim.
Hi.
We both go like this.
It's literally this small.
You know how it puts in the corner of your Zoom?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, Kim, what's going on? You look very nice today.
Oh, thank you. So I was just wondering about venue size.
Does it matter?
Does it matter?
Does venue size matter?
Yeah.
You know what? Go ahead.
Well, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Well, so the thought just simply was that, you know, first of all, I have a very hard, like, 10 row rule. If I have to sit more than 10 rows back, I'm not going.
Oh, wow.
To see anything. So, but when I went and saw David recently, I was in the front row and, you know, you're yakking with the 9-year-old kid, in the front row. And
do you remember it?
To the guy next to me. And so it's kind of like, it feels very spontaneous and very personal if you're sitting in the audience.
Yeah.
Right. So as you scale up in venue size, what point do you lose that? And how does it actually change either the material you deliver or how you deliver it? And does that connection really, and what's the largest venue you've actually ever been in where you felt like maybe you lost that connection?
I'll start.
Kind of a sophisticated question.
Because she was at,
are you a performer or just
no.
A,
no, I spend a lot of time with you, performers. Yeah.
You go to a lot
with
of shows too, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
I love going to shows. I'm like you where I will spend money on scalping tickets because, or whatever, just to try to get up close, or it's not worth it to me. And I think you're talking about Saratoga, possibly, the show. And because there
the
was
winery
a,
there.
Was the kid with you? Was it your kid?
No, it wasn't my kid. No, they were sitting a little farther down. And then
there was like a 10-year-old in the front row.
Oh, I've had that. You go out and like 8 or 10-year-old is there. And then, you know, you think, oh, that's a fuck bomb. And that bit's a little too sophisticated. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I had fun with this kid. I actually liked that show a lot. It was outdoors. It was beautiful.
Great for an outdoor theater.
Awesome. And it was fun to refer back this kid. Of course, I did not know he was going to be there. I didn't know. I mean, you just walk out and you're kind of playing off in between jokes. You look around.
You
and
got his name.
I don't know his name.
You didn't get his name? Because usually you go, hey, Michael. What
yeah,
do you think,
I go
Michael?
Back to him. I go, yeah. And but I what one of the things also is you can't really change the act for this one kid to rip off the audience because you start going, like Dana's saying, oh, I can't say this joke unless you mention it and then you do it anyway, like it's kind of funny. But I don't want to, I only change it if my mom's there. Honestly, I only change it.
And, oh, really? Oh.
But with venue size, I wish the ones we're doing now are pretty big, about 2,000, 25. And I would say more than that, I would like to have a video screen because I make a lot of faces. Dana's the same way. A lot of the acting, a lot of the goofy stuff is here. And I want everyone to see in the balcony and everything.
The big screens do help. I played a 4,700-seat county fair last weekend in Fresno. And I was halfway. Yeah. And it was gigantic. And you just have to pump more energy and remember not to get too tied up with the people in the first row. And then there was a little, like a band started playing rhythm and blues really loud in the middle of my act at another kiosk at the state fair. And I'm like, what? I just started singing along with them. But yeah, it depends on the room. Sometimes rooms are big and they play kind of small and vice versa. But if you can get up front, but first row, that's a little tight. I don't want to, you're in the light then a little bit, right?
Well, you might get lit up too.
Well, you know, I don't worry so much about that. I try to be very like,
shrink.
Not, yeah, yeah. But anyway, yeah. So thanks for the answer. Appreciate it.
That's nice. She goes, I think I've heard
the
enough.
Next concert. And hopefully there's a little kid next to you.
No, that was a fun show. I hope you thought so because I liked that show. We had a great time.
Oh my God. I actually laughed so hard I blew perfectly good vodka out my nose. Literally.
Oh, good.
It was really.
Wow, that's a t-shirt. Good vodka out my nose.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I really did enjoy it.
Well, if Dana comes up there, see him next time. And I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right.
Pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
She's very sweet. Look, she had a good question. And then she wrapped it up, which is never, you know.
I know. That's
which is nice.
That was unusual.
Mm-hmm. She gave the whoa sign like too much whoa. Guy. Just is it good or bad?
They're kind of sophisticated questions about performing. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas.
Loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do. So great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at dell.com/welcometonow. Oh, we got a side pony.
Hi.
Look at that. All the hair is to the side. There's a name for that. I don't know if it's side pony. But.
I have my wrong name. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Get it. It's Alice?
It's not Alice?
It's not Alice. I write murder mysteries, and I guess I was Alice last time.
I like that.
You write murder mysteries?
Yeah, just as a side thing.
Oh, when did Bob Ross paint that painting behind you?
I know. It's so beautiful.
Let's put a little flower here. We're going to put some smoke, some fun smoke.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. What do you got for us?
I love you guys so much. I just have to say that I've been watching you since I was 5 years old on TV. So love you. Me and my sisters, we all love you. We watched you on Saturday Night Live. We love all your movies. Okay. But Dana, we really identified with your movie Opportunity Knocks.
You did.
Which I've never heard you talk about on this podcast yet. But we loved it because of all the scheming and pranking, because that's our favorite pastime to do together. So like what your movie's about.
There was a lot of scheming and pranking, yeah.
Tell us the log line sort of Opportunity for the people.
Well, it was a guy who was sort of on the lam, and he hid out in this house, right, and pretended to be really rich. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, to get away from the cops and stuff, he did characters and he manipulated people. You probably know it better than I do at this point.
I was about to say, Dana's like going,
And then the house you were living in, the family thought you were the guy that was supposed to be there.
Yes.
And so you had to fall in love with their daughter. And then they found out.
I like
it's
this.
Not really good.
God, it's a better movie than I thought. I should have read the script.
I saw it back. Really
I should have read the script.
I saw it back then, and I thought it's funny because, you know, Dana, it's like a classic Hollywood thing. Like, get a guy that's funny at characters that can play anything, and then they find a movie finally goes, oh, he can do this. Because I think the poster, you had your hair greased back. You're dressed all suave.
I was, you know, didn't know what I was doing, but it was, it ended up pretty good. People do like it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, it's really good. So my question is about pranks. What epic pranks happened backstage at Saturday Night Live?
Oh.
Pranks.
Well, let me think. Pranks. It wasn't really a prank, but I remember Chris wiped his butt with my USA Today once. I guess that's a prank.
That's probably the biggest crank.
That's it.
That's it. Little coat.
What?
You know, we didn't have much time. We were just scrambling trying to put the show together. There wasn't much time for frivolity in that way. Don't you think?
Of course.
I know you're trying to get your sketch together, but look at this big, funny clown nose.
Yeah, it's not like the Ocean's 11 set where George Clooney has a fake snake and he's throwing it at Brad. But I will say, yeah. The scene in Tommy Boy was based, Chris Farley and I had an office where, you remember Dane, like I'm facing a wall with that wooden desk and a legal pad, and then Chris is behind me doing absolutely nothing. And I was writing, and he would go, David, turn around. And I go, no. And he goes, David, he's like a child. And I go, Chris, because I had a little Levi jacket. I go, if this is fat guy in a little coat, it's not funny anymore. And he goes, no, it's not. If you're wearing my little coat and you're going to say fat guy in a little coat, I don't want it because I have to write. And he goes, no, it's a new thing. And then I turn around and he's got it on and he goes, fat guy in a little coat, don't you quit on it.
Well, it's Farley is probably the chief.
That's my sister's favorite sketch.
Yeah, so that turned into a dead spot in Tommy Boy where we're just selling brake pads, and then you go, oh, what if we threw this in there just to spice it up a bit?
Well, nice. I love it. That's the kind of funny thing that lasts forever because it doesn't really, where's the joke? It's just a fat guy put on a little coat, yeah, it's so crisp.
And he moves around,
What? I'm a fat guy in a little coat. So that's why it's so funny.
And he ripped the coat.
But yeah, Chris was a prankster. He would just burst into the writer's room naked at midnight.
Right.
Hi, everybody. You know, so, but he was one of a kind.
That's probably the closest we had to pranks was just Chris, constantly being naked.
And one time Dennis Miller had the fake rattlesnake egg thing, you know. Open it up, Carvey. It's a gift. Okay. Popped out of me. Okay. Thought it was a rattler for a second. All right.
Thought it made its way from fucking Scottsdale.
Do you do pranks on your friends?
Yes. Well, my sister is the mastermind and she just tells me what to do because I don't have any shame. And then we just I just do it to make my friends laugh. So. Like, she told me to put on white pants and then put chocolate frosting on my butt. And then I walk into stores and I just
Angela.
Say, where's the bathroom? And then when they point, then you pivot perfectly. So then they see that you crapped your pants. And then
someone quietly films. They film it?
That is.
Yeah.
And they show.
Yeah, so it's really stupid.
You could do a reality show on Pluto television.
She's like, then we take a can of tomato soup. We're like, okay, that's enough.
On the call sheet, it would say butt poofs prank, you know?
Yeah. Well, I like that she's saying that she does them too, because they're hard to kind of think up. And you know what you have? And this sounds crazy. She has phone fingers. Good iPhone fingers. You know when girls take a selfie like this, they go like that in the mirror? Look at that. Go like that with your fingers. See? She's got the old fingers and nails.
Cool fingers.
This is something, it's something now I notice and I can't not notice on people.
Okay.
But that really probably wasn't why you're calling. But anyway, thank you for calling. And
do my giant hands bother you?
Yeah.
I do it like this. I go, are my hands too big? Is that a problem with people?
It was a COVID thing, you know.
They go, it all grew. Thank you, Angela. And keep listening if you get a chance.
And keep on pranking.
Yeah, I love you guys.
Appreciate you.
She should have like that keep on pranking trucking shirt. Remember,
I love the innocence of saying smearing chocolate or something on your pants and walking around a store, but did it with such innocence and frivolity.
All right, well, folks. You heard it here first.
Oh, do we have folks?
I guess.
We have Greg and Heather.
If you want to write
in. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed the show.
Fly on the wall at cadence13.com. It's the 13, right? Cadence13.com.
.com.
And that was fun. I actually like doing that. So we really got in touch with the people
really
that listen.
Nice people.
Saw our crowd a little bit and ate some watermelon. So thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Good night.
This has been a podcast presentation of Cadence 13. Please listen, then rate, review, and follow all episodes. Available now for free wherever you get your podcast.
No joke, folks. Fly on the Wall has been a presentation of Cadence 13, executive produced by Dana Carvey and David Spade, Chris Corcoran of Cadence 13, and Charlie Finan of Brillstein Entertainment.
The show's lead producer is Greg Holtzman, with production and engineering support from Serena Regan and Chris Basil of Cadence 13.